We'll continue our study of the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus. Salvation, individual and corporate. We've subtitled it, The Unity That Believers Have in Christ Brings Unity in the Church, which is the Body of Christ. This is sermon number 145. And we've entitled this section, The Duty of Parents and Children in Christ Church, part 3. Our text is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here the Apostle Paul writes, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Shall we look to the Lord our God in prayer? Our Holy Father, we ask that as we come now to our text today, that you would enlighten us by thy Spirit, O God, to see the great truth that you have laid out before us. That, Father, we would be a people of thy book. We would hide the word within our heart, walk in its precepts day and night. We pray, O God, you would bless us, encourage us, strengthen us, anchor us in thy truth. We ask, O God, that thy Spirit would convince and assure us of our love and relationship with you. For we ask it in Christ's most precious and holy name. Now give us eyes to see, hearts to receive that which thy word and spirit would teach us. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're continuing in this section of our text, and as we have previously noted, it is based upon the principles of God's moral law as it was given both in Exodus 20 and verse 12 and repeated again in Deuteronomy 5:16. Note those two texts, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And in Deuteronomy 5 and in verse 16, honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This, we noted, is the fifth commandment. It is given in the moral law of God. It is a binding commandment. It is and identifies for us the basic structure in the social order of life. It gives us order of those who are in positions of authority and those who are under that authority. It teaches us of how those under authority are to look to those in authority and how those who are in authority ought to handle their authority rightfully to those who are under their care. But in particular, the fifth commandment deals with the concept of the home. The home is basic. The home is where we teach the social structure of life. There is no greater institution for that than the home. Therein, the social order is established properly for its rightful purposes, because the family is central to all of life. The state is dependent upon the family. The church is dependent upon the family. The family, therefore, is central and essential and foundational to the very fundamental principles of all of life and the way that we approach life. Yet we know that besides this being a text that deals explicitly with the relationship of parents and children, it speaks by implication to these social structures. And so we must keep these things in mind. It's not just talking about home, but it implies a greater variety. In our text, the Apostle Paul is using this as a part of his instruction in dealing with the church of Jesus Christ, but understanding that that church is affected by the home. And thus the home being essential and fundamental to the propagation of the gospel through the home and from there out in the world through the church of Jesus Christ. Well, if we could, let us continue to look at this text again and let us progress forward. This will be our last part here in verses 1 through 3. And next Lord's Day, I hope to be able to move on to verse 4 and talk about the parental authority and responsibility that they have in having their children submitting unto them. Verse 1, again, let's look at it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This command is concerning that appointed duty of children. It is unequivocal. It does not give consideration to their gender. Doesn't matter if it's male or female. It does not distinguish about age. Children, pay attention here because Paul is speaking to you. You're going to be accountable for what he says here. I don't care what age you are. You're accountable to your mother and father. And so the Apostle Paul is addressing you. This sermon is to you. Now, the pastor doesn't often get to preach sermons that deal with you. But this is a text that speaks to the children and Enro. So pay attention, my dear brother. My son from a different mother and father. It does not give exception to your state or to your condition. This command that Apostle Paul has given here is legitimate. It is an immediate command. It is the demand of children to give obedience to those who are in authority over them. It includes adopted children, as well as or any child who is in a lawful relationship under the authority of those who are to care for them and to give oversight. Children are never allowed to be without oversight and authority. Because if they are not given oversight and authority, well, you only have to turn on your TV and see what's happening today to see the chaotic conditions of a society where the children have been set free. And once they are free from authority and responsibility, once those parents have cast off biblical restraint, there is no longer anything by way of expectation to believe those children will produce anything more than pure chaos in their life, total dissatisfaction, hatred, willing to destroy, if necessary, their friends, their neighbors, their parents, their grandparents, do whatever is necessary because they are so self-centered. Life is only and has only meaning in a very existentialistic way, meaning in a way that you want it to go forth. Children, God never gives you that right or authority to act in that way. All children are thus included in this demand for obedience. This is not limited only, by the way, to biological parents who are their immediate mother and father, but it includes all those in authority over them who would have that same classification, whether it be stepfathers or stepmothers, legal guardians, all those who are ascending in line, even as it pertains to grandfathers and grandmothers. Children should be subject and obedient in all things lawful, just, and good. You're never free. Well, why should you be? Because when you're an adult, you're not free either. There is no concept of an absolute freedom. There is always accountability. There is always a demand on your life. And those who will not follow the command in the obedience to those in authority over them, they will receive the consequences of those false decisions. The children and everything. Listen, children. The children and everything that is not sinful or unlawful, if you will, according to the Word of God, are bound to obey their parents, or those in authority over them. Even in things that are uninteresting. Now, I can tell you, believe it or not, we all went through childhood. I know sometimes children think adults were born adults and have no way of relating what it was like to be a child. But the reality is, we weren't hatched from eggs. We, in a sense, from chickens, we were not born full like Adam. We grew up, all of us, as children. And if there's anything that the next generation looks back at their parents and their grandparents is, they are not interesting. Times have changed. Things have moved on. I have a different interest. Well, I got news for you. Even when things are uninteresting that your parents want you and command of you, and demand from you obedience, you are bound to that command. You can say, "Oh, I don't really like this." Well, that's okay. You'll like it anyway. Oh, you may not be interested in the subject, but you'll do it because you love your mother and your father. And your desire should be of the heart to do what they want you to do. That's not easy. Because of a result of sin in the garden, there is a natural revolt to the responsibility of being a mature individual. All children go through it. I don't want to take responsibility. I don't want to learn these things. I don't want to have to be involved in these things. Well, it doesn't make any difference. You have to. You're required to. You're not let off the hook for them. And God does not wink at your age whatsoever. So even things that even are interesting, you're bound to it. And yet at the same time, parents, some consideration should be given, especially in things which might be very difficult for them to perform. And so there has to be both a reasoning and an understanding of what you're asking versus what they're capable of performing. However, do not let them underperform their responsibilities. Well, such obedience should be enthusiastic, children. You should be happy to do what your mother and father want you to do. You should never roll your eyes, because that's a sign of rebellion. Oh, you may be outwardly saying, okay, I'll do it. But when you roll your eyes, you're saying, I don't like you. I don't like this. I don't really want to do it. I think you're wrong. You don't have the right and privilege to say that. You should be enthusiastic. If my mother and father would desire this of me, it is reasonable. It is not a violation of Scripture. It is something that can be rightfully performed. You are responsible to do it with enthusiasm. You need to do it with sincerity. And not merely giving that verbal expression and a false outward appearance. Oh, I'll do it. The preacher said I had to. No, no, no. God said you had to. The preacher just told you what God said. I don't have any authority over the children of the church to say, you have to do this or that, except what I'm telling you is, I have the authority to tell you that when your parents give you responsibility, when they give you command, when they have a demand of you to perform certain things, you are required before God to do it with integrity, with enthusiasm, with sincerity. My goal is to please my mother and father in the Lord. It is required of you. Such obedience comes with gratitude and thankfulness, because of the very favors, gifts, the permissions that have been granted to you. Excuse me. Which they were not required to do. There's nothing in Scripture that says that a parent is to go beyond the needs of fulfilling what the child has to have within his life. When your parent buys you things that are beyond the necessities of life, you ought to be thankful for that. You ought to count it a privilege that they would give of themselves, take something from their own lives, and ensure you with the joy and the happiness of having something you would like to have. All of this to be done in a way that is just simply well-pleasing to God. You're to do it for God's glory. You're to do it because God hath commanded it. You're to see your mother and father when they ask of you to do what is right, as you are pleasing God in doing that very thing. They cannot ask you to sin. They cannot ask you to do what you cannot physically, capably, or mentally be able to perform. They cannot ask you to participate in their sins. But of everything else where the law of God is not violated, you're bound. Do you understand? That whole realm of authority belongs to them. And you have a responsibility to respond accordingly. Out of love and thankfulness. Both to your parents, but in the fact that God commanded this of you. To rebel against them is to rebel against God. Now the apostle says, for this is right. That is to say, it is just by the moral requirements of God's law, which commands nothing but what is holy, just, and good of the child in relationship to their parents. Paul says, for this is right. This is what God demands of you. Now, I remind you, this is the model of illustration he's using for the church. We'll get back and extrapolate that out later in one of our messages. But here, Paul says, this is right. This is exactly what is commanded of you. And he says that with authority. You're a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You're a member here. I'm speaking to you who are members of the visible church. You who are children. You are the future of the church, the future of the state, the future of the nation, the future of everything that is social and cultural that affects our life. You have a responsibility, and it begins with learning obedience to authority. And I want you to know, if you don't learn it now and you don't learn it when they're young parents, they're not going to learn it when they get older. This is why we talk about the necessity of Christian education, the necessity of ensuring our children are taught the right things, the right way to view what God commands, what He teaches according to man and God and Christ and covenant, man's sinfulness, his duty and responsibility toward God through Christ in the way that he approaches the world. It all begins with placing a seed in that child. The seed of the word that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, then he moves on to verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Obeying your parents is not necessarily honoring your parents, for these two, obedience and honor, are different in nature. To obey means to do what another says to do. To honor means to respect and to love them, especially when they ask you to do something. Children are to give obedience while under their parents' care and authority. But they must give honor to their parents in their life. Paul described this as the first commandment with promise. The promise is when you obey your parents, when you learn to live according to the precepts of God's law, when they show you in wisdom how to apply that teaching of God's word to your life. One of the great things is it will be a prolonging to your life. It will keep you out of sin. It will keep you out of those things which could come and bring life-ending events quickly to you. Thus, I say to you, children, you need to be considerate of how this authority and care is to be given proper honor. It is first and most for the fact that children are to honor their parents by treating them with proper respect and esteem. This is due in part to the fact that the parents have years of experience beyond them. They need to recognize that. Your parents were children once. They've gone through the very same trials and issues you have. They may not have been in the exact same context, but there is no trial that you have not experienced that they themselves have not experienced as well. But in time, they have grown in the knowledge of God and been given wisdom through that knowledge on how to apply the principles of God's words to their life. You owe them the esteem and respect of their experience that they have gone on before you and done. One of the things I always tell married couples, don't be afraid to ask your mother and father for advice. Oh, I realize mothers and fathers are hard-pressed to stay out of their kids' marriage. Well, they don't have a right to give you any kind of command when you're married. That family line has broken. Not that you shouldn't honor and respect them, but at the same time, their authority's been broken. You've created a new home. But it's okay to ask them. As they have lived many years before you have, it's okay to consult with them. And if you don't want their advice, you don't have to take it. But look to see if the advice is wise, if it is according to the Word of God, if it is what God would command of us to do in our life. Knowledge is useful, but only when it's attended with wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom is the content of what is exactly should have been taught to the child in their upbringing. Knowledge and wisdom is to be taught to our children from their youth up. Listen to what the writer of Deuteronomy, Moses, says, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Now do you see the transition? Parents, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. It's an emphasis, with all your strength. Take the word of God that has been commanded. Here it was the giving of the law of God the second time. Let it be in your heart, the word. Let it dwell in you richly. Now, what is your next responsibility? Teach them diligently to your children. And talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. Meaning as you're going through life, never let any event in your life not be something that has a teaching and an application of God's word and wisdom through the events of life that they go together. When you lay down at night, may it be the last thing you hear is the exhortation of God's word and the wisdom that is given. And you shall bind them, this is to the children, on your hand, and they shall be on your frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is the duty children are to learn to do. This is what the parents are supposed to be doing. Our house, we have a responsibility to serve the Lord. This house seeks to glorify God in all things. Children are to honor their parents by showing gratitude to them. You need to be thankful for the things they do for you. Look at the children of the world whose parents have simply abandoned them, left them ago, wanted nothing to do with them. You don't have that kind of parents. They kept you in spite of the fact that your mother probably said when you were born, oh, isn't he or she a treasure? And the father probably said, yeah, let's go bury it quick. It's a joke. I'm hating to have to keep telling you guys where jokes are at here. I haven't been telling you enough jokes. That's clear enough. You owe your parents Having children is a great commitment. It is a great responsibility. You should be thankful for what they have done for you. The things that they have given you in this life. Things that they did not and were not required to provide. Not only did they provide the necessities, but it is those things beyond the necessities that they have even given to you. Why did they give them? Because they love you. And they wanted you to have more. Children have an obligation to their parents. That's all that Paul's teaching us here. There was a time when children were entirely helpless. Do not forget that. Children, there's a time when your parents brought you home. You know what? You couldn't feed yourself. You couldn't walk. You couldn't even crawl. You couldn't do any of the necessities. You couldn't even go to the bathroom on your own. Your parents had to do all that for you. Totally helpless. Except for you knew how to cry. And once in a while, you got the joke and you smiled when they would goo-goo and gaga at you. Totally helpless. You couldn't speak. They guessed. They worked hard. They're crying. What does that mean? And you guess all kinds of things. They're hungry. Diaper needs changed. Can't be a lot of things. It can't be, I need the keys, kind of go out for a drive tonight, Dad, because you can't drive and walk. It didn't make any difference. Wasn't a lot of things you have to choose from, but you had to kind of read it. And believe it or not, most parents, you could say, oh, your baby's crying. Oh, yeah, food. Oh, yeah, diaper change. They just knew the sound. They cared for you. They cared for you when, if they wouldn't have, you'd have died. Every moment from the time of your birth, they have cared for you to ensure that you live another day. You should be thankful, because without them, you would have died. Further parental cares and responsibilities toward the children do not cease, but with the passing of time and age. Consider how your children need to be watched. How that as you started to grow and you learned to walk, you just kind of gravitated. Depravity sets in very hard, and you gravitate toward doing the wrong thing. Getting in trouble. Running when you're told to walk. Walking when you're told to run. Not stopping when you're walking or running and you've been told to do so. Parents seeking to keep you out of harm's way. Teaching you to talk. And I think that's just so the rest of our life we could tell you to shut up. I haven't quite figured that one out yet, but you teach the kids to talk and then you tell them, shut up, please. Now they keep you out of harm's way. You know what? You learn to talk. You could let your mouth write checks, as it were. There's an old saying that you can't afford to cash because you said things that will hurt you, hurt them, hurt others who will hurt you for saying those things. And they're trying to teach you how to stay out of harm's way in the things that you do and in the things that you say and in the things that you think. And if you don't think that way, you probably won't do them or say them that have put yourself in harm's way. When you were sick, when you needed attention, both day and night, your parents were there. They took care of you, nursed you back to health, without which you'd have died. Consider all that your mother does in laboring in the house to keep things right for the benefit of their children. Consider the father who goes out to work that he can provide the shelter, the clothing, the food, the schooling that is necessary for the children. Children obey. They owe, in a sense, much to their parents because of the care that has been given to them. Your children were not in a position to know or understand all of the sacrifices that your parents have made for you and the amount of care, of prayers, and meditation that has been given on your behalf before God. I want you to know, children, that on this side of heaven, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never have a better friend than your parents. They are your great benefactors. They are the ones who have invested much in your life. That's why it's so hard to get them to divest themselves later in life. Because the last thing a parent wants is for their child to go through adversity in their life. And it's hard to stop being a parent. It really is. It's not that you don't want them to have things that they would like to have. It's that you don't want them to end up being hurt from the wrong decisions. And they do that because they love you. And children should value that. My mother and father loved me, provided for me, cared for me, gave me much beyond what I deserve to have. But we've been taught in a welfare state of mind, you have certain rights and demands that parents ought to provide. I got news for you. Besides the necessities of life, they don't owe you a dime, just as the state doesn't owe you a dime. You want it, work for it yourself. The fact they give it to you beyond the supplies of the demands in life that they have by God given to them to be able to care for you, count it a blessing. It always costs something. And they've been willing in their life as children, if they didn't have those things, maybe because maybe their parents weren't able to supply beyond those things, they've yet given it to you when they were now in a position for the first time to give it to themselves. And yet they willingly shared with you. This is the point on which the stress is being laid by our apostle here in the text. There's nothing by which children can better requite the trouble that their parents have had to put up with on their account when they would not yield their obedience to the authority of their parents. Children are by nature creatures of impulse, inclined to present gratification, act without thinking, whether it is for their benefit or not, whether it is for good or evil. Parents, as preferring their future happiness to present gratification, must give commands to you. Commands that should be felt to be easy as coming from those who are at the same time heaping kindness upon you. The command isn't meant to be a burden, but a protection. A protection. One of the things early on, Phyllis and I agreed we were never going to allow our children to say to us was no. Unless it was sinful. We taught them that. If it's sinful, if it's something we taught you you're not supposed to do, you have a right to say, no, that's not what God's Word says. I don't have any problem with that. But apart from that, no doesn't fit in the vocabulary. We've always said we need to be able to have their attention. If they go running off across the yard toward the street with a car coming, we need to be able to say, stop! And they stop on a dime. To keep them from falling into harm's way. But I got news for you. Depravity works well in children. Boy, you don't have to tell them how to act out in depravity. And they will push the envelope. And you know where they win? They win when the parent doesn't act just the way God will hold it accountable to us. And they'll say, well, I want to do this. No, you're not going to do it. But I want to do it. No. How many times you got to tell them no? You need to come in the house. Okay. You got to go back. You need to come in the house. Okay. Now they know you're going to come back so many times before you're going to get to the point where you're going to get mad and spank them. We decided that wasn't going to be acceptable in our home. No meant no. Do it now meant now. And the next consequence is not going to be a good one. Now, not everything required capital punishment for the child. But no and commands to do were not received well when they were given. The funniest thing I can ever remember, when Alyssa was little, we would say to her, Alyssa, come here. And she would run. And it was funny because people who would visit us, she'd come running in and she'd go, yes, sir. I don't know where she got it from, but it was cute as could be. I just wish I could get her to do it today. But it was great. It was so funny. Yes, sir. She would just salute. People would laugh and go, I never seen a child do that. How'd you get him to do that? We've tried to tell him, you've got to be careful. You've got to listen. Do what we ask you to do. Why do parents do that? Why do parents? Because they want power. They want authority. They want to rule in abusive ways. No. Because they know that the response of the child one day may be the very thing that saves the life of that child. Children, you're responsible to be prompt in your obedience. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. No. No, when you say, you take the trash out, it should never be said again. You don't take the trash out, you get trashed the whole week. And if you don't get it out when you're told, there comes a spanking and you're still going to take it out. I may make you carry it out and back in and back out just in case you didn't know how to do it right. You better learn obedience. Actions have consequences. Disobedience always brings sad consequences. It's what God's Word says. Why should we not believe God? And it's hard. It really is. A parent doesn't want to be in that situation at all. But it's what we're commanded to do. We take the children. When they had to be disciplined, we would explain to them what they did wrong and ask them, explain it to us, what you did wrong. We explain to them then what they should have done right, and then say, now you explain to me what was the right thing to do. And then we would spank them. Because that's how you relieve their conscience. You paid the price for the sin. Consequences are always there for bad decisions. But you also reward them for their good behavior. God does us So we do, when you do right, when you do wrong, you have consequences to pay. And then you pray with them. And you pray for them. And you pray that God will help, through His Spirit, teach them the meaning and the purpose and the reason behind such discipline. Oh, parents, we're not going to be consistent, I can tell you now. We deal with the same remnant of depravity even in redemption. There comes a time when you just get disgusted and you go, I might as well give up. I don't know. You know what? That's when you need to double down. It's when you just say, no, I'm not given that option. I can't give up. That wasn't what God commanded. I must do what is right. Right for my child. Children, do not wait till you're threatened to do something you've been commanded to do. Do it when you're told. Children, do not yield to the command with a grudge. Oh, I'll go do it. I don't want to do it, but I'll go. No, no, no. Be happy you can do it. It is right before God. God is pleased with you. Do you not want God pleased with you? Would you rather He punish you? I got news for you. Your parents' punishment never equals God's punishment. Children should never think in opposition with their untrained wills and uninformed wishes to those whose wills and judgments have been trained by God in the teaching of the parents. Never, ever allow it to happen. We are to let the children honor their parents by giving them all obedience as commanded by God. And it is repeated by the apostle himself, Matthew chapter 15. Listen to what Matthew says. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to hurry, and then we'll pick up next Lord's Day from here. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 1. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Because of your traditions. For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And he who curses mother and father, let him be put to death." Children, listen to me. Back in the time, in the day of Israel, you curse mother and father, you could have been put to death for it. Children back then lived under a really heavy burden in national Israel. Obedience was expected by God of you in the family to which God allowed you to be born. But you say, whosoever says to his father or mother, "What profit you might have received from me is a gift from God." Then he need not honor his father or mother. So, I'm your gift, and I don't have to honor you. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. You've created a tradition to nullify the law of God. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." He says, you've substituted the teachings of men for the law of God. You found a way, that's what you were doing, to get around God's commandment and law. You take that command like honoring mother and father, and you find a means to truncate it. Not allowed. Obedience to your parents means obedience to your parents, and all things lawful, all things biblical. children are to honor their parents also by helping them. Children, listen to me. From early age on, there are things you can do to help your parents. Children should be pleased to leave their playtime and run an errand or do whatever a parent needs. It should not be a burden upon them. But I'm playing. So what? Do what you've been told to do. You should do it with joy. You get to help mom and dad. You should do it without begrudging it. Doing things about the house to help relieve them of the work that they are required to complete. Some parents have a very hard struggle, and children can help to relieve them and their stress and care by also helping to take care of those items by which the parents have provided for the house, rather than being careless with it or breaking it, so that extra money doesn't have to be spent and extra time given. Things taken out have to be replaced, causing greater stress, bigger needs. Children who wish to honor their parents will be unwilling that they should demand from them material things that are not necessary to life. That's hard to imagine. When all of society and all of entertainment is designed around selling you on that new toy that you just have to have. I know. We grew up in that generation. It started with my generation. Television comes on, that great thing that was going to show us all the different places of the world changed to everything else different. You got to have, you can't live without this, kids. You got to have, this is the newest thing. Commercials. By the way, I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but if you ever take the time to observe, watch a child sit in front of a television. While the TV's going, they're playing, talking, whatever. As soon as a commercial comes on, bing, they are just gravitated to it. You can talk to them and it wouldn't, a bomb could go off and they would sit there. It would not move. It's designed that way. They're selling your children on television. Things to put pressure on mom and dad to get them. And they do it by saying, all the other children have it. Shouldn't you have it too? Don't you want one of these? You need to put the old arm lock on dad and make him pay for it. Make him getting this. And when it breaks down in 6 months because this isn't built to last long enough, make him buy another one for you. Everything today is designed to drive the children away from obedience to their parents. To put extra burdens on the parents, on the home. Children need to learn not to make demands. Material things beyond the necessities of life are a blessing from your parents to you as a gift of your good service unto your duty as a child in the home and your cooperation. Children are to honor their parents by placing confidence in their parents. Parents and children are to have that form of friendship that you would have as a parent and a child. Such friendships are foundational to bringing confidence to the other individual. Parents are to be informed, by the way, children, about all things that you are involved in. And if it is wrong, you should not conceal anything from mother and father. Never hide the truth from mom and dad. at your duty and responsibility. Do not lie to them. Do not compound your sin. If you wish to undertake anything, get your parents' consent. Yes, they might not say yes. They may say no. Live with it. Parents, if you're giving consent, explain why it's a yes or a no. Explain the context to the answer. Let nothing be done, children, that you would not want your parents to see. If you've done wrong, confess it. Tell them. Seek their forgiveness. But never let there be a concealment, no deception, no untruthfulness performed by you before your parents. Children who practice deceit upon their own parents are likely to form a personal character trait according to the type of individual that are the most detestable ever in life. People that cannot be trusted because they are deceitful. They are known as deceivers and liars and untrustworthy individuals. You know, you've heard the joke, I'm telling you ahead of time. It's okay to laugh. How that Johnny said to his friend George, "My dad thinks Billy is going to be president one day." He said, "Why does your dad think that?" He says, "Because he says Billy's just like a politician. He lies, he cheats, and he's deceitful." That's the way people look at life. And you know what? The funny part of that is, that's kind of the expectation of politicians, isn't it? It just weirds us out when somebody gets up and is honest. Brutally honest. Speaks the truth. We don't want the truth. We want to be lied to. Tell us all the things, and then we're going to get mad about it. And we're going to be angry. And then we're going to say, "Tell us some more lies." Because we'd rather be lied to than told the truth. It is amazing, is it not? And what we have tolerated, our children will learn to tolerate it with us. Children need to honor your parents in the instruction that they give them, both from the Word of God and in their education of their life. Children must take full advantage of the provisions that parents have made for them to get an education. You will not be successful in life without a quality education. I don't mean you'll have riches or anything like that. I'm talking about being just a successful person in life. A God-honoring, honest, dealing individual. You need to be ready to hear your parents. So you need to talk to them. You need to talk to them about your life, your desires, your hopes, your dreams. All serious subjects should be discussed with them. You should love to hear the story of Christ in their life and what He's done for them. Children, you should not turn away from the ear of your parents. Tell them those things that are necessary that they can foster you to right behavior. How to flee temptation when it comes. How to shun company that you should not have that's going to lead you astray. What kind of books ought to be read, movies watched, etc. When they tell you to be respectful, to be truthful, honest, kind, above all, dutiful. That's your job and responsibility that God has given to you. That's what it was told in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains about your neck. This is what God has commanded in that. Children, honor your mother and father, that it may be well with you, that you will live long. That's the way toward real truth and prosperity. Well, we've run out of time. I will come back next Lord's Day, pick up verses 3, and then go on to verse 4, dealing with parents. But I want you to consider these. Very important to understand. Children, you have obligations, duties, and responsibilities. Your job currently is to be educated. You better be putting your heart into your education. Putting the time in that is expected of you. Don't just do the minimal. Do as much as you can and exceed beyond all expectation. Strive to be the best that you can be. Honor your parents. Do not be deceitful with them. Talk with them. Communicate, parents to children, children to parents. Let it be meaningful. Let it be joyful. Let it be pleasurable. But at the same time, let it be clear with distinction. When you disobey, there are consequences to pay. Do not play the game of, I'll warn you so many times, you act immediately. Because parents, if you don't do that, I'll tell you now, you've lost the war already. Teach them and teach them well. Teach them to love you, to love God. Teach them to want to obey you because they want to obey God. And in obeying you, they are obeying God. Teach them that the things and the place and this time of life that they have been both given to a family and they are being reared is really a privilege and an honor. You're not in a mud tent or a mud hut. You're not living somewhere where they live off the ground. I don't know, they romanticize that, but I tell you now, that ain't a good life. When you're sick, you're taken to the doctor. When you're sick, they care for you. They tend to you. They provide for you. They provide beyond your needs. You better learn to be thankful. God hath, the scripture says in Acts, ordained the times of your life, the very places of your habitation, the very parents that He wanted you to have. You need to understand what God has given to you. You are living in a great time, at a time in which, really and truthfully, we get more than we ever needed as children. Not everybody had everything. Wasn't 70 or 80 years ago, children didn't have a lot in this country. A few did. Most children were tickled to death if you had an old tire to roll down the hill. That was pretty fun. Or tie it up with a rope and put it on a tree and swing on it. That was considered real fun. Or had a creek you'd dam up and hope the snakes wouldn't get into it and go swimming. That was the great swimming pool. Back when hunting was a joy, learning to grow into manhood, to provide food, to grow gardens, to participate in the family, to be one who contributes, learning how to grow into maturity. We aren't doing that anymore, and that's to our own detriment. We should have. God help us as parents to do our job. God help you as children to learn to escape the consequences of disobedience by obedience to your parents and therefore obedience to God. You have a calling upon God upon your life. You have a calling of God. You're not just free to go do what you want to do. Wrong. You have a calling. I pray to God you will perform that calling and you will do it well. with love, respect, with a desire and sincerity of heart, because you love your parents and you love God. May God grant that, both to the family in our society today, both to the parents and the children in that home. Shall we pray?